and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I don't think you can hear it. Can you hear it? I mean, Jeff's very good at his job, so you're not going to be able to hear it, but it is raining right now in LA, and like, not an inconvenient daytime nobody-knows-how-to-drive-in-the-rain, oil-slicked roads kind of rain, like a quaint, cozy, winter, yummy kind of rain. It's just like, oh, like it's the type of rain that you like put on an ambiance YouTube video on just for the audio and it sounds like rain. It's nice. It's nice. I'm feeling, God, Gilmore Girls comes up on this show way too much, but it feels very like Lorelai, I smell snow type of rain. And it's nice. It's just really nice. Nice to be recording in like, ooh, like in a cozy environment, which we don't usually get in Los Angeles. And I'm about to no longer have because I am flying to Orlando tomorrow. I am flying. Actually, I will be back by the time you're listening to this. But while I am recording it, wow, time. While I am recording this, I packed my bags. I'm ready to go. Literally leaving on a jet plane in the morning with Pearl. And we are going for a few days. And you will hear all about that in a couple weeks. But I packed. I did it all. I'm proud of myself. I'm fearful of how hot it's going to be. Let me tell you, I know it's Orlando. It can be hot. It can be rainy. But I really didn't think my early February trip was going to be this kind of hot. All I've been seeing on social media for weeks is like, ooh, freezing in Orlando. Ooh, hats and scarves and coats. And I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to have another fall winter moment because I was pretty cold when I was there for the Disney Treasure on either end of that sailing. And I loved it. I loved it. I love it when it's cold there. I mean, I love it when you're dressed appropriately, when you pack appropriately for it. I was so psyched. And now, sadly, no. I've lost out. It's going to be like 85 degrees and I basically only have about 10 summer outfits. So get used to seeing me in the same clothes over and over because it's of course hot again. But that's besides the point. Today we have a lovely Gab Sesh episode for you. We're going to be talking about lots of stuff, so I don't want to hold you back from that. I hope you're having a great week so far. When you're listening to this, I am like back in LA, probably bewildered from a cross-country fight with a toddler, and I'm happy to deliver this to you. Okay, I'll just get into the episode. I'll see you on the other side. Listen to our ads, though. Like, I work really hard on them. Okay, I hope you like it. Okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. Okay, bye. I mean, not a few minutes, like a few seconds probably. Okay, bye. We're going to Disney World and we're saving money? That's just how we do in 2025 because we are lucky enough to have good friends who are really good at planning vacations over at Mouse Fam Travel. So here's the deal. You probably start planning your vacation by heading to the Walt Disney World website, playing around with dates, searching different hotels, comparing your options. But if you reach out to Mouse Fam Travel and tell them about your trip, they're going to do all of that for you. They're going to help you take advantage of major discounts like room deals and a free dining benefit that will save you hundreds. And on top of that, they'll even give you a gift card up to $250 just for booking with them. You'll save money and you'll make money by booking with Mouse Fan Travel. And I know you might be like, oh, I can do it myself. I'm an avid traveler. I don't need help. But a friend who regularly books their own trips recently took this advice, reached out to Mouse Fan Travel, and saved $1,000 on their Disney trip. $1,000! The difference in price from what they were going to book and what Mouse Fan Travel found, and they scoured different websites to check because they were shocked. Same trip, same dates, $1,000 difference. Imagine saving $1,000 on your next Disney trip while also saving time. And if you book for Disney World, possibly getting free meals and a free gift card. It's win, 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 win. And if you're thinking, well, if that's true, why have I been doing all this work myself? Exactly. That's why I'm so obsessed with Mouse Fan Travel, because all of this is completely free. I know. So if having Mickey Mouse cover the cost of your meals sounds pretty rad to you, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing today. Skip the booking process, save the time, and enjoy all the magic Disney World has to offer for even less. And hey, if you're thinking about a trip to Universal Orlando or Disneyland or a Disney cruise or Adventures by Disney, they excel in booking all of that as well. So don't delay. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and do Disney the right way. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing. Welcome back to our Gab Sesh episode. Now, we are going to get into kind of serious theme park newsworthy stuff. We're going to talk about downtown districts, but not in like a boring roundup way. Like, I got a lot of thoughts about what the future of our vacations are going to look like, specifically in these areas, these outskirts of the parks. And we're going to get into that momentarily. But first up, I just want to talk about, because I really haven't posted or talked about it much, that I went to Disneyland twice within 72 hours. I don't usually do that. And let me tell you, my weak mother body could not handle it. I was so tired after. So tired, in fact, that I was invited to a very, very special event that is, I think, literally the day this podcast comes out. So if you hear about it and you're like, oh, no, it's next month. It's March. Ignore me. I was invited to a very special event that I ended up turning down specifically because it starts at 8 p.m. at Disneyland. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it because I learned my lesson from this past week. But that doesn't mean that I didn't do anything fun. And I just want to tell you a little bit about my 2 days because they could not have been more different. One of the days, the first day, a Wednesday, I went with Pearl. And I did post a little of this online, but I wanted to give you some context. I was driving there. I was gabbing with my nanny. I have a part-time nanny. I never really talk about that because that's a whole can of worms, to say the least, is even saying the word childcare and providing specifics on the internet. People will come for you just for simply being alive. But we have a part-time nanny. And so we go to Disneyland together because it's chill and we both love it. So I also don't talk about them much because I like to keep them separate. And they didn't agree to be talked about. So that's the last of that. Just know they are in the shadows. And even now I'm like, I should cut this. But no, I don't do this alone. I'm not going to pretend like I do it alone, but I also want to respect their privacy. Anyway. So we're gabbing, driving down the highway, fully miss the Disneyland exit. So I end up pulling off the next one and I park at Toy Story parking, which I don't usually do. I usually go to the structure. I do because if I get there early enough, I go to Pixar Pals, bing, bing, boom, I am in. And then I walk the long way. And I gotta tell you, it is a privilege and it is also extremely strange to be like, I have a Disneyland going routine. That is a sentence that if you said to me in what, 2015, 2016, my first adult visit to Disneyland, and no, it's my second actually. I went once casually when like I wasn't much of a Disney fan. But if you told me on that trip, like, oh girl, you're gonna move to LA, you're gonna live here, and you're gonna be going to Disneyland so often that you have a routine, I would not have believed you. And yet, something about stepping out of my routine a little bit in the sense that I parked somewhere else. I walked from that parking lot. It's a different walk. It's a different entrance. You don't walk down through downtown Disney. Just that little shift really made a difference. Like the whole day felt different. We were walking and I was like, you know what I want? An ice cold Diet Coke. I know I pledged my allegiance for Pepsi, but I wanted a Diet Coke. I went to McDonald's. I ordered hash browns. Ooh, I had a piping hot breakfast hash brown. I had my Diet Coke. I waltzed into the park because there was nobody in line at security at like 10:15. It was amazing. And I walked right in. And it was such a nice change to the day. Now, the first chunk of the day was spent just taking 4,000 photos of my child in her Duffy onesie. Now, this Duffy onesie, again, I posted about this. I just want to give you a little more context because it's so important to me. I remember seeing people putting their kids in these at Tokyo Disney Sea before I'd even thought about kids. And was just like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And when I got pregnant and had Pearl, my friend Heather, you know her as Dining in Disney, and my companion on my wackiest of trips, like flying to Galveston, Texas to go to Rainforest Cafe, Heather picked it up for me. And she hand carried it back in the original box to give to me as a gift. Heather is one of, if not the best gift giver that I know. And this was in Pearl's room for 2 years before she was able to wear it. It was like, I think Heather bought the biggest size available because she wanted to make sure it fit. And now it fits. And now my daughter wears it. And the passage of time just really, really blows my brain. So we took a bunch of photos off Main Street. I was like, I don't know how long she's going to be able to fit in this. I don't know. I mean, if you have kids, you're around kids, you know what I mean? Like, I actually got it on her, which is an accomplishment because you never know. Sometimes they just don't want to be in clothes. And so I had to kind of honor the moment. And once we did that, I was like, you know what? Let's just do stuff. You know, we parked in this different area. We walked a different way. Let's just do a bunch of stuff we never do. We had absolutely no agenda. When I show up, I maybe have one or two things. I know that I say for vacations, you want to have 3 things that you got to do each day. But when I go to Disneyland, I'm only there for a few hours. It's a more casual day. We're there all the time. So usually I have one or two goals. And I had none. I had absolutely none. So I was like, let's just ride. We hung out in the fire station. I really haven't spent a lot of time there. And so Pearl got to hang out in the back and climbed up. Like they have the fire truck parked there permanently. It's like an oldie time fire truck. I'm sure some Disney historian wizard knows all the details. To me, it's just an oldie time fire truck. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know like the history of that level. But we played in the back And I really wanted to get a photo in front because I always see, and even if you don't go in, you know, like the fire truck's there. People take a photo sitting on top of the fire truck. Disney Legal definitely doesn't know about how dangerous this is to get up there because people, I've seen people forever taking photos up there with their kids, with their babies. It is so hard to get up there with a child. Oh my God. Because there's not like steps. There's like a little post and you just step on the post and you go, okay, imagine you're like stepping up. And so you step and you go, and you like lift yourself up and you have to like fling your leg over. And if you're carrying a 28 pound child, that's not easy. We got up there and Pearl was like, absolutely not. And we immediately went down. The photo that I thought would come out nicely didn't. It's just both of us panicking. It is so high off the ground. I didn't realize, how is that allowed? How is that allowed? That can't be safe. Like, they're begging for trouble. I don't know what's going on there, but it was not good. I was hungry again. I was so hungry this day. I don't know what was going on. So we decided to go to Bengal Barbecue. I placed a mobile order and I looked over. And while I was placing the mobile order, I realized they reopened Jungle Cruise. And the Jungle Cruise queue here is one of my least favorite queues. You got to go upstairs. I'm lazy. I'm embarrassed by how my heart rate spikes when I go up one flight of stairs. I don't like to do it a lot. And you have to go upstairs and then downstairs. And then also the queue, they're like, it's two lines. But you're like on top of the other person. You're just like in a little corral and it's awful with a small child. I do not like it. But I was like, it just opened. We're going to walk right through. And that's exactly what happened. We walked through. We didn't have to wait. Still had to go up the stairs. I'm lazy. I'm sorry. I don't want to work out when I'm at Disneyland. But we walked up. We walked down. We immediately got on the boat. As I was boarding, the cast member at the front said, I also am like, oh, I don't want to mention their name in case they don't want me to publicly acknowledge this. But the cast member at front was like, oh, are you Carly? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I follow you on Twitter. And it ends up we've been talking on Twitter forever. And it was so nice to put a face to a name that I will not mention for privacy's sake. I just like to be very conscious of that. You know what I mean? So we went on Jungle Cruise. It was tight. I'll tell you, I have some sort of like brainworm thing where I always think I'm on Magic Kingdom's Jungle Cruise. I don't know why. I'm always like, can't wait for the cave. And then it's just never there. It's never there. And every single time, I've been on this ride so many times. Every time I'm like, can't wait. Pearl's gonna love it. We simply were not in Florida at the time. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. Anyway, we made it to Bengal Barbecue where I got a skewer I've never had before. I had the spicy beef skewer and then I got the vegetable skewer. And I forgot how much this veggie skewer slaps. I've just been going here before to get like a little bite of chicken and that's it. I don't go here that often. I will be honest with you. You know, I don't like that indoor seating area where I went. I hung out with friends there at the Tiana's press event? It was some press event recently and it was like me and I think Brooke was there and Scott was there and a few other people were there. And it was just really nice to like hang out and socialize in this space that I previously didn't spend much time in. And we went there. And again, I don't love the indoor seating, but I scarfed my little meat. I scarfed my vegetables. The vegetables are really good. Like they're doing some good work over there at Bengal Barbecue. And I've been there before, but like it's something about getting the spicy beef that really did it for me. It was cooked really well. Like I was pretty amazed. I was pretty happy with it. And I guess I should be going there more, but I don't. I probably should. Pearl ended up getting a souvenir from the gift shop there, which was just like, kind of like a shaker toy. It's not a Disney thing. It was kind of like a handmade instrument and she loved to shake it. Why not? We went there on our path to what else should we do that we never do, which took us to the Tiki Room. Pearl had never been inside. I thought she might be scared of the birds, but I think she's past that. Like she did really well. She liked it. People were coughing and I was extremely paranoid. I was going to get sick. I remember that. That was fun. That was scary. I mean, it wasn't scary. It was fine, but it was stressful. And after that, we ended up going to DCA and I think we had something on the agenda that we wanted to do. We were like, oh, why don't we do this? And we ended up at Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, which I think I've never said that out loud. I don't think the full name, the full like official name. We ended up in Redwood Creek, which I'd never brought her to. I guess maybe she was too little and then it was closed. I had never brought her there, and it was so fun to be there with a child who was finally at the age to do it. She could walk up the stairs, she could go on the netting, she could run across the bridge and not be frightened by it. It was really great because she finally is very recently at the age where she can do that, and it was fun. And then it was immediately not fun because Pearl had a tantrum in Disneyland, which was bad. It was bad. It was like people might be talking about us bad. Essentially what happened is that they have a little, I think the Toontown area is way better for kids that are 18 months and under, depends how mobile they are. Pearl was a little slow on that front, or slower than other kids, where she wasn't running for a while. So for us, Toontown was kind of the best spot for her. Here, she's finally at an age where it works. If your kid runs around, it is great. But they have this, they have like a little kid slide. They have bigger kid slides. They have a little kid slide. The little kid slide, essentially, I don't know why, has like a right angle to it. It doesn't just go, it goes like, like it kind of veers to the side and then veers back. Who designs a slide like this? I know that it's like a rock slide. There's no reason why it needs to be like this. So Pearl walked up the stairs, saw it, was pretty scared, walked back down, and proceeded to walk back up, be scared, and walk back down about 15 times, let's say. It was, I knew what was happening, and I knew she was processing it. I knew she was frightened. She was scared, and she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. And so she eventually was just so overwhelmed that she lost it. And she had a gigantic tantrum all across about half of California Adventure. She eventually got back. We got her back. It was okay. But, oh man, the poor girl. I feel it, you know, like when you're scared and you want to do something, but you're scared. Like, I'm sure a lot of us feel that way on rides too. It was just, I felt so bad for her. I felt so bad for her. But it's really nothing that the Bread Tour can't fix. Oh yeah, we're doing all the hits of a day with no lightning lanes. We went on the Bread Tour. And again, I'd never taken a child on the Bread Tour. Child loves me. Handed a free piece of bread. I ended up buying a loaf of bread, which is a great snack to have on hand if you have a hungry baby. And it was nice. I saw Michael Does Disney. We got to hang out for a minute before we headed home. And it was just a good day. It was a good day. It was a little challenging for her, but we got through. That was my Wednesday. My Friday, however, was a little different, because on Friday, I kind of sort of got invited on a VIP tour. I went on a VIP tour with two of my friends. There were three of us, and we had a VIP tour, which is bananas. Again, I was invited on this. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was so nice to like basically go back and replicate the day, but in a much less stressful kind of way. Because when you go on a VIP tour, basically for every VIP tour, you can have up to 10 people. We only happened to have three. It was just three of us. We were invited together as a little pod, and it was lovely. But when you go, two of the cars get to park at Grand Californian, and I got to valet at Grand Californian. I'm probably only speaking to my California people, but valeting Grand Californian and just walking right in is bliss, baby. It is bliss. And it's something you can't really do unless you have a dining reservation and then want to pay through the nose after that dining reservation to go to the parks. Or you have a spa appointment, similar situation. Or you're staying at the hotel and you have to pay so much money to valet. Here, oh, I parked it, walked right in. It was glorious. And that day, I got to actually do the stuff that I never get to do when I'm there with Pearl, because I'm never going on rides for me. So we started with a ride you're probably not going to expect that I've been dying to go on, Star Tours. Yeah, I haven't been on Star Tours in so long. And it's been one of those things that's kind of been like working inside my brain, being like, Star Tours, you ever going to go? You ever going to go? I know you're going to say you're going to go if Pearl's there, but you're never going to go. And I finally, it's the first thing we did. It was so fun. I got to see the new scene. It was really nice. And my friend Jeffrey, I was with my two friends, Jeffrey Epstein, who listened to the podcast. Hello. And then Marvel Jeffrey, as he's called, our other friend named Jeffrey. And Jeffrey Epstein was chosen. He was chosen as the chosen one, as the rebel spy, which was really fun. And I actually now know and I knew this for a while, but it was confirmed to me, the full secret for how you get chosen as a rebel spy. Now, I always knew, and I'm sure a lot of you probably knew this too, that you can't get chosen as rebel spy if you have your glasses on. They're going to be choosing someone where you can see their face, where they don't have their rebel spy glasses on. But I was tipped that you also don't want them on your head or anywhere near your face. I thought if you put them on your head like a headband, you're fine. But apparently, no, that can kind of disqualify you from being chosen. I don't even know if I've been chosen at this point. But it's so fun when you are, you know? I just love it. It was nice. It was a nice surprise on a glorious day. From there, we went on so many rides. They got me on Matterhorn bobsled. I usually don't go on because it hurts my bones, but we went on the side that isn't as intense. The right side is smoother than the left side. And the last few times I've been on the non-smooth side. We walked past the teacups and we saw the Mad Hatter. Mad Hatter was there and Alice was there. Oh my God. It's just really magical because that is a thing that's only going to happen at Disneyland. You are not going to see that anywhere else. And it's just really, it's really nice. We then went on Alice in Wonderland. We met Geppetto. What else did we do? Oh, we went on Rise of the Resistance and it was the day the cannons came back. And it was literally the day they came back. The cannons haven't been working for years at this point. I don't know the exact amount off the top of my head, but for a while, the cannons near the end, basically the scene before you see Kylo Ren, those cannons are supposed to come in and out. They are not currently working at Disney World, but they were working in full force at Disneyland. And it was really special. It was nice. It was like a really fun surprise that the day we were there, that was happening. It was very cold out. So I sat out Tiana's Bayou Adventure and I went to get lentil soup at Harbor Galley. It's Harbor Galley's where the good cookies are, if you know, you know. The lentil soup is new to me and it's new on the menu. I don't know when it came. Must have started recently because I haven't seen it in a while, but it was so good. Lentil soup in a bread bowl, like protein and bread. I ate the entire thing. I was still hungry a few hours later. I thought it would be more filling, but it was so delicious. Then we went to Toontown to meet Minnie. We met Mickey. I took the selfie photo in the mirror with Mickey, which I haven't done in years. That was so fun. We went on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And I gotta tell you, that is not a ride that I have had in my mind as like, ooh, make sure to request a row. But request row three. Row three is the row, that good row. That good row that puts you in the right position, puts you like back in the front because you know things move around. Like row three is where you want to be. I never think to request because I'm like, we're just all going to scoot around to the same place. What's the difference? I'm not in like a roller coaster where I want to be in the front or the back or a certain seat. And yeah, row three is definitely what I'm going to be requesting from now on. We went on Space Mountain after. I got some popcorn. We went on Haunted Mansion. We went on Indy. Haven't been on Indy in a minute. That ride looked great. Whatever. Refurbishment, whatever they did. I almost said refreshment. How hungry am I? Whatever they did to Indy, it's looking good. I hadn't been on it in a minute. And oh boy, it was nice. We then went over to DCA. We did our final ride on the trolley. Really sad to say goodbye to stuff. I know you think at this point I'd be used to it, but it's hard. It's just hard to know that things are going away. I have a photo in Pearl's Nursery that is taken on the streets of America and is hanging in there. I can't say more about it because I'm not supposed to talk about it, but there's a photo in there. And lately, like, for a while, you know, I was just like, oh yeah, that's what it used to be at I almost said DCA. Oh my God, my brain is melting. At DHS, at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And for some reason, I think since they announced the Muppets Courtyard closure, which was kind of like the last little vestige of that. It was like, oh, we have a little left. Since they announced that, I keep looking at that photo. There's two of them actually, those two photos. And I'm like, I miss it. I miss the Osborne lights. Like, I miss it. I thought that with time I would be okay with it, but now I'm like increasingly more sad and attached. And I hope that doesn't happen with Muppet's Courtyard because I'm scared. I'm sad. I guess that is why I went to Disney World, but still, it's a bummer. We did Guardians of the Galaxy after that. Then we did Radiator Springs Racers. Then I was so hungry I almost fell over. So we went to Pim's Test Kitchen where they have a totally different menu. I had the new like pesto grilled cheese with, it's served with tater tots. And then I got the beer cheese sauce on the side for tater tots. The grilled cheese was really good. It was like, I mean, it was exactly what you think it's going to be. It was cheese, tomato. I think it was basil, a little bit of, there was like a little pesto in there. It was basically like a fancy grilled cheese that if your kid isn't too picky, they'll probably split with you. I ate the entire thing. I thought it was pretty good. I could have used like a little more pizzazz in it, but still. It was great. We did Web Slingers, which I am terrible at. And every time on it, I am ashamed. And then we did Mickey's Fun Wheel, which I know is Pixar Pal Around, but I don't like saying that out loud. So we're going to call it Mickey's Fun Wheel. We did not do the swinging one. We did the regular one. And, ooh, okay. Again, I'm not the type of person who's going to like complain about being gifted, honored with a VIP tour. Like, oh my God, that's so much money and I didn't pay for it. I can't believe it. I mean, we tipped. You always tip. That's low key. If you ever go on a VIP tour, you have to tip. You have to tip really good. It's like an unspoken thing, but you like have to, like you kind of got to do it, but like they won't tell you to. It's a whole thing. Anyway, I'm not out here. I'm never going to complain about a VIP tour, but cutting the line on this one felt really bad. It felt really bad. And we did it. and we wanted to go on, but it felt really bad because this one, the way the line is set up, like you, oh, it's just like people see you and they're like there with like, people are waiting for so long. I felt really guilty. It felt kind of like when you have the fast pass or whatever they call it at Knott's Berry Farm or like, or basically like any other park where they just added in without having extra lanes and you just cut in line. I felt bad. I felt really bad just being like, I guess we're going to go on this one that you thought was for you and you were waiting here for so long. I felt really bad, but I'm glad we went on because I hadn't been on in years. I mean, it was just like a day of delights of things that I haven't been on in years, especially because then I got to go on the swings, the Silly Symphony swings. I hadn't been on the swings forever. Oh, God, I love a swing. It's all this stuff that I never get to go on when I'm there with Pearl because she's not tall enough yet. And then we ended the night with Monsters, Inc., which was... It was great. Again, usually I'm not paying attention to the ride. I'm paying attention to watching Pearl watch the ride. So it was really nice to do. We did all of that in 7 or 8 hours, which is a lot. We did every ride we wanted to go on. Like by the end, we're like, I guess Monsters, Inc., what else are we going to do? And we knocked it out of the park. But we ended on time because, oh my God. I am so sorry. I just got caught in my microphone cord like a big old dork. Whoo! Now, we were about to transition to a break. That was not smooth, but we're going to go with it. we ended on time because we were going to dinner at Carthay Circle, which I will tell you more about after this break, provided that I do not fall again. That was scary. Okay, we'll be right back. Stick around. We got more. Do you ever feel like everyone around you is dressing like they're a zillionaire and you just don't know how? This is how. Quince is how. Because I learned it firsthand this week. I found a sweater in Quince that when I put it on, I went, oh, this is the cheat code. This is how y'all are dressing full-blown luxury, looking chic as could be, feeling great because you're draping your body in cashmere, but you still have enough cash in the budget to treat yourself to that mid-afternoon matcha. Because I love nice things, but I also love saving money, probably more than anything, and Quince is the go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they don't sacrifice quality to do so. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I'm telling you, this baby alpaca wool cropped cardigan will open your eyes to a new world of chic style, just like it did for me. Go to quince.com/amusing, search that baby alpaca wool cropped cardigan, and just be prepared to be blown away. It is so soft, it fits wonderfully in the shoulders, which cardigans don't always do. Strangers are probably going to come up to you on the street and compliment you. Oh, and it comes in 7 colors. I'm getting brown and black so that I never have to be without it. With a dress on a cruise when you know it's going to be a little chilly, open over workout clothes when you want to look like those ladies in your social media feed that are really pulling off sneakers, how are they doing it? Quince will help you on your way. It'll change your life just like I'm anticipating this sweater will change mine. Because you deserve to give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. A full year to ponder over those sweaters. quince.com/amusing. We love Quince! We are so back because we are back with Armoire, which makes getting dressed easy. A clothing rental membership from Armoire lets you build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. And when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that show up at your door in as little as 2 days. But honestly, I love to browse on Armoire because looking through the pants and skirts and jackets and blazers is kind of like guilt-free shopping. Really, if you're anything like me, a busy mom who travels a lot and has an unnatural natural attachment and love for her clothes. Filling in the gaps in your wardrobe that you need to fill can be so challenging. It's just so much pressure to buy something, wear it once, realize it really doesn't work for you, and then feel the weight of guilt over contributing to waste or having it just sit in your closet for years and years and years until that pressure just kind of dissipates and it's just an object you're used to seeing. Or feeling bad about the fact that you spent money you could have spent on something else, like Armoire, and instead spent it on this thing you no longer want. My closet became such a place of stress and uncertainty in the different stages of my pregnancy and postpartum life. And giving new styles and silhouettes a test run, and looking great while doing it, makes Armoire an absolute must when it comes to finding or redefining your personal style. I just placed my Armoire order, and I'm so excited. I got this chic Reese tailored blazer that fully makes me look like a rich lawyer who's ordering a martini. And then I also got this pair of Farm Rio orange pants that I'm so stoked about. They're like a bright orange. I cannot wait to wear them. I even got a minimal chic little plain black sweater from French Connection. They have everything. And let me tell you, if you want to try something new, whether it's a new style, a new pant length, or even a new color, they simply have got it. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. That's armoire.style/amusing. Welcome back. We have made it to Carthay Circle, where we had our little dinner reservation, which was wonderful. Now, we requested to sit in the main dining room, which took a little longer for us to sit down, but I think it was absolutely worth it because the side rooms aren't the vibe. You want to be in the main space. And our meal, I'm going to say at the beginning, our meal was good/great. It was pretty great. I would happily go back here. But the service was kind of off. I don't really know what was going on. And it wasn't like We were being tended to constantly. Everyone was so kind. We had a lovely time, but almost everything was like wrong. I don't know. It was weird. Like we got drinks. One of the drinks was wrong. We ordered drinks again. Someone else got the wrong thing. It was all like a little topsy turvy in a way. And I say that because at the end of the night, so we ordered, what did we start with? We started with a shrimp appetizer. And we were like, oh, how many pieces are there? And we were told like 7. And we were told, oh no, just kidding. There are 3. And we're like, oh, okay. And then we ordered our meals. And like, that was mostly fine. I got the chicken, quote unquote, shawarma. I don't know why it's in quotes. Kind of strange. The food was good, but there was no main entree that really appealed to me. I mean, they had squash gnocchi with short rib. They had a sustainable fish, which I didn't really feel like. They had a paella, but it wasn't really speaking to me. They had a pork chop, they had a steak, and they had this chicken dish. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll get the chicken. And then at the end of the meal, I see somebody walk by with like these huge deep fried prawns that looked amazing. And I asked our waiter, I was like, wait, what dish is that? So like, if I come back next time, I can order it. And he's like, oh, did I not tell you about the specials? No, you did not tell me about the specials because I absolutely would have ordered that dish. It looked really good. I'm still kind of upset about it. I don't want to be upset about it, but I'm kind of upset about it because I would have ordered that. It would have been the favorite thing I ate of the night. We did also get, obviously, the warm cheddar Parker House rolls. I don't like that they're $14. I'll tell you that. That's a lot of money for table bread, but it is what it is. It's a pricey restaurant. I mean, the entrees are between like high 40s to the most expensive one is the steak, which is 70, but it's like you're gonna be spending $50 on an entree plus a cocktail plus whatever, or a rose petal soda, which I also got, which was delicious, non-alcoholic. I love that one. And then I got a martini, which was also delicious, but we had a good time, but it was a little off because of that. However, still had a great meal. Really want to go back. It's just nice to have like a really, to know you're going to get a nice cocktail. Because I don't drink that often, but when I drink, I like to have a nice cocktail. And that's what it provided. We ended up not getting dessert because we realized We had to go because one of the perks of a VIP tour is that you are given the opportunity to ask and request for reserved seating at entertainment. That's daytime parades. That's nighttime fireworks. That's World of Color. And we chose Fantasmic. That was like the one thing we had to do. According to me, I said, we got to be doing Fantasmic because how often do you have a reserved seat at Fantasmic? That is so hard to come by. So we had to rush over there. You also get a complimentary locker as part of a VIP tour, and it was cold, 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 cold. So we put a bunch of our stuff in the locker. The boys ran to go get our seats because we were late. We were late. And I'm not usually at Disneyland like a deep nighttime, which was very fun. So I ran to the locker. I got all of our stuff, all of our scarves, our heat tech, our hand warmers, our layers, all of that. They got the seats. We met back up. And we saw Fantasmic. And I had also, again, everything I'm saying is like stuff I haven't seen in a while because my life has changed. I'm not there casually with friends all the time like I used to. Like before this park pass calendar reservation nonsense, people would just text each other and be like, yo, you want to go to Disneyland tonight? And be like, yeah. And that's not my life anymore. And that's not Disneyland's life anymore. It's just things are so different now. And it's kind of a bummer because I used to just casually go. Like my friend Todd would be like, oh, I'm going to go to Disneyland tonight. And I would just hop in the car and go. And while, I mean, I could theoretically do that and just have Ben watch Pearl and hop out, it's just no one's casually going like that anymore. It's just really the park reservations changed the vibe. And it's kind of a bummer because Disneyland used to be like hanging out with your friends at the mall. And now it just takes a little more work. And so I'm rarely there at night. I'm rarely seeing Fantasmic. And I'm also rarely seeing Mickey Mix Magic because I hate that show. Because I hate it. I hate it. And this is not the first time in my life that I've seen Mickey Mix Magic and had to be like, and just like half, just like bopping back and forth because my friends are having fun. This has happened multiple times to me where I've been there with friends and everyone's like, yeah, Mickey Mix Magic, nighttime, fireworks. And I'm like, I just can't. I don't like that show. I don't really like the music. I don't like the show. I'm not into it. And I just have to stand there and bop back and forth like I'm some awkward teenager at a bar mitzvah or a high school dance. I don't like it. And that's that on that. All said and done, it was wonderful. We walked 22,000 steps. And here's the weird thing. So I walked 22,000 steps in my Vejas, which are these like, they kind of look like if Adidas had a V instead of three stripes. They are like these white and black gym shoes. I wear them all the time. If you've seen a photo of me online, you've seen them. I wear them in the park because weirdly for big long days, like 10 milers, I was going to say, but that sounded way too athletic. It's not like that. Like 10 mile days. I don't know what it is, but these shoes just work for me. They do like, they're really good for 10,000 steps. They're pretty good for 15,000. Anything over your feet are going to hurt anyway, but I like wearing them on park days because they're light and they're easy to walk in. And I was packing for Florida and I lost one of them. I can't find the other one. I got two sneakers. One's missing. The other one's in my closet. And I keep being like, what happened that night? Did I come home with one shoe? Did I lose my mind at the Grand Californian pickup drop-off at the, oh God, what is the word for that? Not the cul-de-sac, the porte-cochere? Yeah, there we go. Like, where is that shoe? And I cannot find that shoe. I had to bring my old beat-up pair to Florida because I can't find it. And since that day, it's been a mystery. I don't know. I don't know what happened. It's just wild. Where did it go? Maybe it's just like, the souvenir I got at the end of the night was the memory of my shoe. I also lost my favorite black hat on Wednesday at Disneyland. I lost my tripod on Friday. What is this vortex that I walk through when I go to and from Disney where I lose all my beloved objects? My favorite hat. Oh, it's this weird thing that's been happening. I can't find it in the house. Even my husband looked everywhere for my hat, for this stuff. We can't find it anywhere. It's gone. I put the hat in the lost and found thing, but it's a black hat. Like, I'm never getting it back. I bought a new one. It's not the same. It's not lived in. Oh, it's not lived in. It's heartbreaking. But yeah, all my stuff is missing, and I had a great time at the parks. Now, we are going to very suddenly switch gears to talk about Downtown District, because we haven't really talked much about the caramel popcorn of it all from when I recently went to Downtown Disney at Disneyland. And if you haven't been to Downtown Disney at Disneyland Resort in a while, it really feels like it's actually starting to come together. For a while, like, it, you know, in the shadow, in the gravesite of the old AMC, when we were promised that five diamond resort, that six diamond, whatever that fancy hotel was going to be when the monorail went through it, like all that stuff that we were, that changed and there were things that were going to come and then they didn't happen. Like all of that felt so recent and so alive, like living in our memories. But now when I walk through there, I kind of forget all of it. And it really feels like the transformation is almost done. There are a few more dining locations that are still to open. Some stuff is moving around, but Wonderful World of Sweets, which is the replacement for Marceline's Market, it's the candy store in downtown Disney. It's cute. It's cute. The design is nice. They have Werther's Caramel Popcorn, as you know, which is fantastic to have it on site. I've heard mostly good things. I think one person had a stale bag, but I think looking for the furthest out expiration date is going to be your ticket, unless things are selling really well and then they're not going to really have them on the shelf, so then everything will be fresh, which is great, great, great. There is definitely a taste difference between the popcorn you get that was popped that day than what was popped a few days ago. That's just kind of how it is. It's just kind of how it is with popcorn. But they also opened so many stores. They opened so much. But they also opened that Parkside Market, which I'm going to be real with you. This is the story, Seekers and Shenanigans. And this is a little bit of everything. Because I went to this media event it was basically like a tour. We went to some of the new shops. We walked around downtown Disney. That was like the grand opening of Wonderful World of Sweets. That was the press preview. And I went, obviously, for my caramel popcorn addiction. But the second half of the event, like there was a break in the middle, and then it was a tour of Parkside Market, which is this quadrant of eateries. There is Sip and Saunder, which is a coffee shop, Soul Sister, which is bowls that look really good, by the way, I gotta do that, Vista, Parkside Market, and Gigi's Chicken Shop. They're like all kind of bloop, plop in one area. And the second half of this event was a preview of Parkside Market. And I saw it on the itinerary and they're like, you'll get your invite separately from like someone, a different PR person. And I was like, okay, I didn't get one. And so I didn't get one. And so Pearl came with me to the parks. And so I just went to the parks with Pearl. And then I came home and then I checked my email and it was sent to my other email address, my like public facing general inquiry email. And I had not seen it. So I basically low key accidentally ditched this press event. I don't know if that means like I'm in trouble. I didn't see it. I emailed them back and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just thought like, oh, I wasn't invited, so I didn't go. And I was supposed to go and I should have gone because honestly, I'm looking at this fried chicken on Gigi's chicken shop and I really want to do it. So this is something I'm going to have to tackle in the future, but I've heard really good stuff. I've also heard the prices are a little high, which I don't like to say without having gone there myself. I love that they have a coffee shop alternative to like kind of what we're used to with Starbucks and like in Florida with Joffrey's. I like that they have something that has like a local feel there. I've heard good stuff about Gigi's Chicken Shop. Again, the fried chicken sandwich, which is kind of the standard sandwich, is $18. It's kind of a lot. That's $18 is a good amount. Sorry, I'm reading this bio. I didn't know they were based in Chicago. Interesting. My Chicago brain is like, who do I know who's involved in this? Because I just assume everyone knows each other from Chicago because kind of we're all like 2 degrees away from each other. And then the other one is a bar, Vista. I don't know why I say Vista. Vista Parkside Market, which honestly, I'm probably not going to go to because I'm not interested in beverages that much. Alcoholic or non-alcoholic, I like to eat, so I'll be at the other ones. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're talking about that because you kind of have to mention the transformation of Downtown Disney and that it is almost complete because of what is going on at Universal City Walk Hollywood. Oh my Lord. Now, I will preface this by saying that I don't like to talk about stuff while it's in permitting. I don't like to talk about rumors because that's just not what I do. There are people who are very good at that, and that's not me. I don't like to report on stuff until it is official, until we have actual word. But like everyone else is, and like the big outlets are, so I guess we're doing it. I don't know. It makes me kind of uncomfortable, but I think at this point we have to talk about what's going on at Universal City Walk because it's kind of bananas. Now, if you haven't heard, you've probably heard that, as I mentioned, Downtown Disney at Disneyland, totally redone. A lot of talk about it at D23 Expo. Like it was really like a big thing. The whole place looks different. Facades are different. It looks fancy. There are new stores everywhere. It's like nice and it feels like it's coming together and it's nearly done. Universal City Walk is currently basically in like that headwear stage of orthodontia. Like they are really going through it right now. And if you are not there regularly, like people in LA are, or if you haven't been there on vacation recently, it is wild. So they are basically booting almost everyone out and bringing in all new tenants. And it's bananas. Now, my guess is that they're doing this to prep for the 2028 Olympics because, I mean, the amount of tourism here is going to be off the charts. And they're held in LA, obviously, in case you haven't heard about the Olympics. You haven't seen Billie Eilish singing on the beach. It's gonna happen here. And they're trying to turn this, seemingly, into a full-fledged theme park resort. Not just a one-day park with a very weird random mall attached to it. And Podcast the Ride fans, do not come for me. That is not slander. Calling CityWalk a weird random mall is extremely accurate. They had, for years, a water massage store. You put yourself in a tube and the water massaged you. It is a weird mall and we're sticking with it. But there are these big plans for Universal CityWalk, like these extremely lofty plans. There's so many rumors. I don't even want to say it out loud. There's like rumors that they might be moving like kind of like attraction entrance locations. They might be moving stuff on the backlot to make more room. There might be new hotels, which we will get to soon. But I want to focus on our main feature, our Little Miss CityWalk for the time being. Things have been kind of winding down there vibe-wise ever since the park reopened during/after COVID. And it never quite came back to what it used to be, which I even say being like, it wasn't like it was thriving at that point. I mean, like they moved to Starbucks, they moved it back. They opened a Toothsome a few years ago, which was huge, only it's not good. They just opened a bar at Toothsome very recently, and it is, from what I hear, quite empty. Again, I went to Toothsome for Valentine's Day a few years ago, I think while I was pregnant, and it was so bad we didn't eat and went to Wendy's. I obviously haven't been back since. They are still in business, so it has to be better than it was, but ay, 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 not a good sign when you leave a restaurant to go eat fast food. Now, if you're at CityWalk these days, you're really either parking and walking through to Universal Studios Hollywood, you're seeing a movie, that's where a lot of us go to see movies, or you're the type of person to dine at Margaritaville. That is it. That's it. Those are the three types of people who come here. You're walking through to the park, you're walking through to go to the movie with your little AMC A-list, just like Stubbs, whatever, going to check into a movie. Because they have like a lot of, there's like 17 screens there or something. I always go there. It's like the easiest place for me to buy out a whole theater for my birthday. I go there all the time. Or you're going to have a drink at the bar at Margaritaville. Again, those are the three people, the three denizens of Universal CityWalk. But Universal's low-key offloading like half the tenants here and bringing in new ones, some of which are rumored, but others of which are actually newly announced. Now, this is the list of places that are closing. From Robert Niles. I'm taking it from him. I feel like I trust his list. I've seen a few different versions of this, but I'm just going to credit my man Robert and we're going to go with that. Now they closed Popcornopolis. Again, I am usually there once a week. I have not been in a minute because of the fires, but they are closing Popcornopolis. Fossil has already closed. That's the new site for the Line Friends Square store. We'll talk about that in a second. They closed Crepe Cafe. They closed Mini Monster. They closed Sparky's, the mini donuts place. Like, yeah, of course they closed a mini donuts restaurant. But they also had a lot of candy. They had a lot of candy there. It's a bummer. They closed Abercrombie & Fitch. They closed Dong Po Kitchen. Has been closed for a while. It's getting looped in here, but still. They closed Samba, which is, that hasn't been there for a while, I don't think. And then they closed iFly Indoor Skydiving, which, boo-hoo, I've never been able to do because why would I spend money on that? There's also rumors of Margaritaville closing, Jamba Juice closing. How do you close a Jamba Juice? And Buga di Beppo and others. So like we are talking a full overhaul of this downtown mall. And still, not a lot of this is shocking. Dong Po has been closed for a while. Mini Monster, maybe like a couple months ago at this point, put out a very sad statement about wanting to stay open. But Abercrombie & Fitch, that one hurts. That one hurts. I bought a lot of clothes there. Like, it was really nice when I was like, oh no, Pearl has to nap, but like, I gotta go see if they have any new skorts in. Like, I would go there a lot. And I'm kind of bummed it's not there. Now, a bit of good news. There's no word on the Los Angeles sock market. Thank goodness. The low-key, extremely good sock store in Universal CityWalk. They have an area in the back with kids socks. They have Muppet Babies kids socks. They have, you go in and you're like, I'm not gonna buy tourist socks. Don't joke, you will. Don't play yourself. There are very good socks at the Los Angeles Sock Market. Just keep that in mind. But again, with all of these closures, you got to keep in mind, so many of the merchants that I just listed, Mini Monster, Sparky's, Crepe Cafe, Popcornopolis, those are all in the final throw of the walkway towards the front gate. This is basically prime location. This is what the majority of people walking to and from the Universal Park are going to see. They're walking to the park. They're walking in there. There's multiple. Oh God, I have to explain the layout. Oh gosh. So there are three parking lots. Two of them attached to the mall, and you walk through the mall to get there. The third one is on the other side. It's a whole other thing. But for the most part, if you're showing up to Universal Studios Hollywood, you are parking and walking through the entirety of City Walk, despite where you park. If you park closer, you're going to skip a section, but you are still walking through this final aisle of places that are almost all food. There's like food and shopping, but it's a lot of food, a lot of little snacky foods. And that whole walkway, they're replacing a lot of it. A lot of those are now gone. And it raises the question, what is going to come in these spots? And so we do have details about a few. Insomnia Cookies is going to be in that main drag, replacing Mini Monster. Even though, okay, Insomnia Cookies? Like, Insomnia Cookies is like a delivery restaurant. And I don't know if this one is intended to not be a delivery restaurant, but like, that's what they're known for. They're known for delivering cookies late at night. If someone is Uber Eatsing or Postmatesing Insomnia Cookies from City Walk, do you know how annoying it's going to be for that delivery driver to park and go into City Walk to get cookies and leave? It's not good. It's not good. Line and Friends is replacing Fossil. I am too old to know what Line and Friends is, but they're really cute characters. If you know them, you've seen them. If you see them, you know them. They're cute, but I don't know who they are. I don't know their names. I don't know if they have names. I don't know what they do. Are they friends? Are they dating? Are they like a friend crew? Are they in high school? I don't know, but they're very cute. We also already had Ludo Bird, which is in this same stretch, already changed into this kind of al fresco Hello Kitty cafe. And as of last week, we also have Slice House coming this summer. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't sleep well this week. They released a photo of where Slice House is going, and I am absolutely blanking in real time. So I apologize. I think it's in that. No, I know I saw this. Yes, it's going. I'm like, okay, go back in the archives of my brain. It's like when you like found a sweater on J. Crew and then like days have gone by and you're like, ah, I have to go in my like safari history. That's what I'm doing inside my brain as we speak. Slice House was in, I think they took over Sparky's. I'm looking at like the double window shape from the photo I saw. I'm pretty sure they took over Sparky's, which is in that main drag. But again, I've never heard of Slice House, but I guess people have. They have Detroit and grandma style pizza. They also have New York pizza, but I don't like New York style pizza. Sorry, I like a thick pizza. So a Detroit style pizza, I'm not going to say no to. But essentially, the reason I'm yapping about all this is because this is a big deal. Universal is really trying to zhuzh up this resort, and they are adding lofty hotel plans. And again, disclaimer, I don't like to talk about permits. I'm not Alicia Stella. She is incredible at her job. I do not have the capacity to hunker down and focus on legalese, but it's widely known that they are planning a hotel at the park entrance where security currently operates. The worst security setup in the world for a theme park. The aisles don't make any sense. You get stuck if you're trying to leave and you're walking past the slowest people, you can't get past them. If you're trying to get into security, it's always jammed because it's like in a one-person aisle. It's a mess. And another reason why I'm a fan of this hotel supposedly coming to the park is that because as of last week, they have announced that security will be moving to the outer portion of Universal City Walk. They'll be moving to the perimeter of the resort so that you go through security before you enter Universal City Walk. And if you don't go to City Walk a lot, this was so necessary because listen, in our modern times, you want to feel safe when you are at a theme park. You are being, you know, transported somewhere else. You are feeling different with the vibes of different themes. It is different. And I'm saying dumb stuff, but you know what I mean? I don't know why I can't articulate it right now, what a theme park feels like in your body. But when you are there, you want to let your guard down. You want to feel safe. And lately I've been like, they're asking for trouble. There's no security until you actually get to the park. And City Walk is open late because of the movies and because of stuff like that. And this change was so desperately needed. I never really felt truly safe at City Walk because it was so easy to just wander in. And now actually making the gate be at the entrance of City Walk is going to be so much better. So much better. I am so happy for this. And they're finally getting rid of that horrible security check-in at the front, which apparently where a hotel might be going. City Walk, listen, I love it. It has its charms. It's not the best. You know, us nostalgia freaks might have a problem with things changing. Like, we love to see the fountain, the King Kong, and kind of you squint your eyes and, like, twirl around a little, you kind of feel like you're on vacation in Orlando. But really, City Walk is a rinky-dink mall. There's, like, it's not what it could be. And as we see Downtown Disney really flourish and kind of take on this new brand identity, this place needs this very badly. And I say that with great reverence for Podcast The Ride and all they have done in the City Walk saga. But yeah, this is a small, weird theme park that has gone through many changes and has really tried to reinvent itself pretty successfully, I'd say. And the mall kind of needs to do the same. I mean, the mall is... Listen, I go here a lot. I usually go here once a week. Again, because of air quality, I skipped most of January, but I usually go to Universal once a week, which is pretty frequent where things are concerned. And when I go, there's not much open in the morning when I arrive, and there is not much I want to stay for when I leave. I mean, they have this Starbucks that when I've gone, they don't have mobile ordering on, and it works so efficiently. It feels like that time, do you remember in the pandemic when people would go to Disney World and there was no like Lightning Lane or Fast Pass or Genie Plus or whatever? Oh my God, we have lived so many lives, whatever you want to call it. And we all just waited in line and rode rides and like things worked. And it was amazing. That's kind of how the Starbucks is. The new one, the one they moved into, it was one location that moved and they moved back. So it's kind of like the old new one. That one is good. It's really good. And I like going to that Starbucks. But like the Abercrombie & Fitch was sad in recent months. And now I know why, because they probably weren't getting merchandise because they were closing. Oh, sob. But even Dong Po Kitchen had a sharp downturn years ago when I first went. It was incredible. And I went like a year later, not great. Blaze Pizza left years ago. Voodoo Donuts got rid of their Stumptown coffee, which they had when they opened and they no longer had it. Oh, that was the best. There's no Stumptown anywhere near me in LA. And I loved it. There was Stumptown there. Like, that's gone. It's just like a graveyard of things I used to love. And there really isn't anything for me to spend my money on there. And I'm someone who lives in this city and comes here often with money that I want to burn. I want to spend my coins here. I'm a pass holder. I come here almost every Friday. Like, I want to spend my money and my free time at Universal City Walk. And yet, even the new stuff, like, they had me going to Wendy's on Valentine's Day. They had me going to Wendy's. So while I am all for these changes, I do hesitate. Because what if the new stuff they put in isn't that great? What if it's too shiny? What if it's too modern? What if we lose all, like, I want to lose a little of the old stuff. Like, again, I'm not going in Popcornopolis. I'm not going to the Crepe Cafe. Like, I didn't go to a lot of these places, but I don't want to lose it all. I don't want it to be like Chip and Joanna Gaines, wood floor, Marriott, trying too hard to woo millennials style. And so far, it sounds like it's going to be pretty good and hopefully have a lot of stuff that we want to go to. And I'm quite hopeful and I'm quite optimistic, but I am a little nervous for its future. I'm excited with a tinge of nervous. Because let's face it, Los Angeles' main theme park getting a facelift like this? It only makes sense. That's Hollywood, baby! So City Walk, I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see what happens with this hotel. I can't wait to see what's with all the rumor changes. And I just am really excited for the future of Universal Studios Hollywood. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I will be in touch with you when I return from Disney World. And if you have any questions about anything, you know where to call. Call the Churros Hotline. And I'll be there answering your calls all the time. Okay, talk to you soon. Love you. Stick around. We got some calls. Okay, bye. We're going to Disney World and we're saving money? That's just how we do in 2025 because we are lucky enough to have good friends who are really good at planning vacations over at Mouse Fam Travel. So here's the deal. You probably start planning your vacation by heading to the Walt Disney World website, playing around with dates, searching different hotels, comparing your options. But if you reach out to Mouse Fam Travel and tell them about your trip, they're going to do all of that for you. They're going to help you take advantage of major discounts like room deals and a free dining benefit that will save you hundreds. And on top of that, they'll even give you a gift card up to $250 just for booking with them. You'll save money and you'll make money by booking with Mouse Fan Travel. And I know you might be like, oh, I can do it myself. I'm an avid traveler. I don't need help. But a friend who regularly books their own trips recently took this advice, reached out to Mouse Fan Travel, and saved $1,000 on their Disney trip. $1,000! $1,000. The difference in price from what they were going to book and what Mouseman Travel found, and they scoured different websites to check because they were shocked. Same trip, same dates. $1,000 difference. Imagine saving $1,000 on your next Disney trip while also saving time. And if you book for Disney World, possibly getting free meals and a free gift card. It's win, 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 win. And if you're thinking, well, if that's true, why have I been doing all this work myself? Exactly! That's why I'm so obsessed with Mouse Fan Travel, because all of this is completely free. I know! So if having Mickey Mouse cover the cost of your meals sounds pretty rad to you, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing today. Skip the booking process, save the time, and enjoy all the magic Disney World has to offer for even less. And hey, if you're thinking about a trip to Universal Orlando or Disneyland or a Disney cruise or Adventures by Disney, they excel in booking all of that as well. So don't delay. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and do Disney the right way. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Hi, Carly. I was just, you know, laying around, and for whatever reason, I thought about a couple weeks ago how my husband and I went to the Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios to celebrate his birthday. And, you know, like, you know, you tell the cast members that it's your birthday so you can get a free little treat. And we were, you know, excited for said treat. And then they bring out a grapefruit cake, a slice of grapefruit cake. And while we appreciate the gesture, of course, like, you know, amazing, wonderful, kind, but no, the grapefruit cake, I don't know why, but it keeps coming back to me how truly gross it was. And, there's some historical significance behind it, apparently, with like the original, Hollywood Brown Derby, and a frequent customer saying they wanted like a healthier option for a dessert. So the chef created this grapefruit cake. And those two things are just like not meant to mix, clearly. At least not to my palate. I think it is kind of an abomination. And that's just my personal opinion, also my husband's. There has never been a dessert, like, in my life that I've only taken, like, one bite of, and I was like, ew, no, no thank you. And, like, didn't eat the rest. And I love passion fruit. I love, like, raspberry cake, cheesecake, tarts, all that jazz. But this was just an absolute miss for me. And it's, like, one of their signature things. So I wanted to see if you've ever tried it and what your thoughts might be, because I know you are equally passionate as I am about delicious little treats. Okay, that is all. Thank you so much. I love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, listen. Here's the deal. I have a lot. There's a lot of stuff in the Churros Hotline queue. Stuff I really want to answer, like a lot of trip planning stuff, a lot of like arrival day questions, a lot of travel related questions, travel recommendations, stuff that I will be playing in the next couple weeks, I absolutely promise. But this call had to be played just because, first of all, if you are someone who is picking up the phone to say you don't like a piece of cake, you are my person. You welcome to Very Amusing. We welcome you with open arms. You belong here. You have found your place. And two, I found this fascinating because I've actually never heard anyone say they don't like the grapefruit cake. I mean, some people like don't order it, but I've never heard anyone go out of their way to be like, it's not good. So much so that it's now on my to-do list to go back and try it again because I've had it. It's been years. The hilarious thing is that while I was listening to this, I thought, why haven't I been to Hollywood Brown Derby? Like, why haven't I been there in probably like 6 years? And then I remembered, because I used to think it was expensive. Can you imagine me thinking something at Disney World was expensive in like 2018? Oh, 2018, Carly had no idea what was in store for us. Had absolutely no idea. So now that everything's expensive, I may as well go back. I may as well go back and see how the cake is. The last time I ate there, I ate outside and I had an afternoon salad, which I didn't like, actually. Wow, I guess I guess that's why I don't go back. Maybe I don't like it there. I thought the salad was too, it felt like bird food. It was like, I don't like a chop chop. I don't like chop chop. I like a little chop, but not a chop chop chop. It was too mealy. It was just like eating like, like food that had been eaten by a mama bird before. It was so mushy. Mushy in the sense it was just like little pieces of food. I don't love that. Probably great for my digestion, but I haven't been back since. That was a few years ago, but I will go back for this cake. Lord knows I will go back for this cake. I prioritized Mama Melrose's on this trip for obvious reasons, future RIP, but I will make sure to go back for the cake. And if anybody else has a strong opinion about the cake, let me know. I want to know, are there more of you out there? Are there people that are incensed by the grapefruit cake? I need to know. I love this. I love when we all care so much about these just specific items on the menus, because I'm very passionate when I love something, but I'm equally passionate when I do not like something. And I don't often hear the specific food that people don't like. So let me know. And if you have something else that you love or hate, I'm all ears, baby. I'm all ears. Thank you so much for your call. And yeah, I guess I'm going to go back and get some grapefruit cake now. So thank you for that too. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us on Spotify. Please do that if you haven't. It's a nice thing to do. It's kind of like taking the survey at the end of the Disney World call, whatever you call Disney, and at the end you take the survey. It matters. And I appreciate it. And I know those people that you're talking to on the phone appreciate it too. Speaking of phones, you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Send us a voice note or email it to 747-CHURROS@gmail.com. And I know last time I said, like, give us a call. It's easier for us to index the call when you do that. We got a lot of calls this past week, like almost enough to make an entire Churros episode. So please keep them coming. I love answering questions. I know we just got kind of started up again because we were delayed at the beginning of the year. I owe you a lot of answers to your questions. I'm doing my best. I will get to them. And please keep the calls coming. I love it. I love the hotline. That was maybe one of the smartest decisions I've ever made, is doing the Churros hotline. I love it. You can buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel on the internet. Join the family at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. It's always a good hang. So many great people in there. Also, a great place to ask like random travel advice, or like, hey, I'm going to insert name of city here. Do you have any recommendations? People always have great recommendations. Everyone in that group has fantastic taste, and I love them all. Hi, Fomaly. I love you. You can subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. I'm posting stuff. Well, not secret stuff, but like stuff the general public doesn't get to see, and it's only 99 cents a month. So come hang out with us. I get 99 cents a month. You go to my Instagram and you press the subscribe button. That's where it's there. It's there. I hesitated because I know there's an issue where not everyone has the button, and there's seemingly no way to figure that out. That Meta platform is not great, but we do what we can because that's the social media platform I've chosen to go down with, and we are there for life. This episode was edited editorially by Jeff Fox. That made no sense when I said it out loud, but sure made a lot of sense when I wrote down the word of the week. Thank you so much for listening, and see you real soon!
Hi, sweetheart. It's Mom. I don't know anything you talked about with the babies, but I guess I'm just going to live it in real time because I will see you in a few hours and we will have our trip with Pearl, and I'll get to see all the places you talked about. I am very, very excited. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you, little nugget. I am so happy, and maybe we can even do a little recording while we're away. You know, it's not a bad idea. I love you so much. I will see you soon. And it was a really, really good podcast. I love you. Bye.